Fred Film Radio. Vilnius International Film Festival, Lithuania.
Joining us at this time is filmmaker Fradik. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt.
And you know, you're talking with us from Luanda in Angola. We're going to be talking about your latest film, Air Conditioner, which is screened as part of this year's program of the Vilnius Film Festival. So very exciting. I watched it and I thought it was great. There's so much I want to ask you. But just to start us off, would you be able to maybe say a few words about your film to introduce it for the listeners who may not be familiar with it yet?
Well, Air Conditioner is a film that takes place here in my hometown, Luanda. And it takes place in downtown. The main protagonist is a security guard. And we follow him through a couple of days of work. And at the same time, air conditioners are falling in the city of Luanda, and people don't know why and how. And so the rest, you have to watch the film.
Exactly, yeah. So that part of the reason why I ask filmmakers to introduce their films is so that I don't give anything away. But, but you know, okay, so there's so much that I want to ask you, like I said. But the film is also credited to the collective that you started, which I hope I'm not mispronouncing completely, Geração 80. I don't know.
Yes, 80, that's exactly what it means, Generation 80. Yeah.
Generation 80, yeah. Can you tell me a bit about the origins of this collective and maybe its mission statement?
Yeah, we started in 2010 after I finished shooting my first short film when I got back to Angola. And me and two other friends, Jorge and Chiloya, decided to start this to make films, but soon realized that it was very hard to keep ourselves just doing films here because we don't have like film funds or we don't have a specific industry regarding filmmaking or anything. So we decided to open more of a production part of the company, which was more commercial. But at the same time, the collective that was doing the films was growing. So right now we have done, I think, 5 feature films, mainly documentary, and 2 feature films fiction, and the rest was short films. And it's been a very important experience to us. And basically, we take every year we take a person's turn. So in 2020, 2019 was Air Conditioner, was my film. Next was Eric Lavers, who was the director of photography of Air Conditioner, and I'm editing his film. So we kind of work on each other's film like a film school mindset. And that makes us, I think, more appreciative of everyone's work, I guess.
So a major objective of this collective is kind of to represent Angola, but also to maybe give birth to a burgeoning film scene there?
I wouldn't say just represent Angola, but what we feel is that there's a lot of filmmaking going and a lot of filmmaking trying to copy Western filmmaking or, you know, Hollywood. And then you get names like Nollywood, or here in Angola, people calling Angoliwood. And we feel like there's a lot of good artists with a lot of people with stories to tell that don't fit that box. And basically, we are more independent, auto-driven filmmakers, and at the same time working as a collective, you know. We don't think that one abolishes the other, you know.
Yeah, so the artistic vision of the individual is very important to you as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very important for us. And I think the what's weird for some collectives is that although we are working with, you know, one director's per project's vision, but we are working all together and we work on each other's projects.
To return to Air Conditioner, which again, I must say that I was totally... I loved it. I felt one of the themes that was very important was the theme of memory. Why did you feel it was an important theme to explore?
I have a deep connection with memories. I'm a person that every film that that I've made, or even every story that I think, most of the times they come to me as, or they become some sort of memory. Because every time I'm thinking about it or even writing, they kind of start becoming memory in my own mind, you know. And at the same time, I think we, as filmmakers, when we are telling these stories and we are getting into the visual medium, we kind of are building almost fake memories into one society. If I think about all of the films I've seen from very different parts of the world, I always think that, you know, it's a window to a country's time and space or city or even a character. So for me, filmmaking or films at least work a lot as memories. And also because in my previous project, which was a documentary about our independence, I worked during 6 years with our collective and an archive association on our country's archives and also archives outside of Angola, but about our liberation struggle. So anything to do with archives, memories, old stuff, I love it.
Yeah, me too. One of the pet battles of mine on this show is film preservation. So I love it when people, you know, talk about how important it is for these memories to be kept alive in some way. Mm-hmm. But I've also seen, and this is kind of takes me to another thing that I wanted to discuss with you, because I've seen this film described as a work of magic realism, mm-hmm. you know, balancing realism with poetic imagery and metaphor. And I also saw that as representing a sort of balance between the interior and exterior world of the lead character of the film, mm-hmm. Matasedo. Would you agree with that?
I would say one of the main things that I wanted to with the film, and also with every aspect of filmmaking, like not only the photography, with the music, with the camera, we wanted to give always the perspective of Matasedo. Either you are seeing it or not. So even the composer, Lynn Frazan, I think she composed an amazing soundtrack that speaks to what the character is thinking or what the character is made of, instead of just adding music to a scene, you know? And the photography is, I think it works as well this way, because we kind of floating with him while he's walking those corridors or walking those streets. But more than just capturing him in action, we are kind of going on his rhythm. So I love that we all decided to go with this approach, because it gave the film kind of a cohesive element to it, you know.
Yeah, and speaking of just this pace, but also the dreamlike quality of the film, mm-hmm. that I felt, some of the sets are quite beautiful, and I was wondering what the influences for those sets were. Some of them are really stunning, I must say.
Thank you, Matt. Well, it's I've lived all my entire life in buildings like the one you see in the film. Not only me, but the composer, the co-writer, the director of photography, the whole crew, basically. Mostly live downtown in those sort of buildings. So we knew the environment very well. And I think the building was a real location and the shop was a real location. We added stuff, of course, and we changed according to other experience from other buildings. But mainly the location were real. Like if that shop doesn't exist with air conditioners, but it exists with television screens. So I think the biggest inspiration was our daily lives. You know, our daily lives of citizens of Luanda.
Right. Yeah. But some of them really looked like art installation pieces. Mm-hmm. I thought they were really, really great.
Yeah. The car one was it's one of the ones I love the most, because the director, the art director, Prudenciana Hash, she built the car inside with a garage shop here, and it was an amazing piece, and it's still there. The guy of the shop didn't take it out, so the car is part of the shop now, almost as something people to visit.
And I almost feel embarrassed to ask you because of the sheer simplicity of the question, but is there a specific reason behind your choice of using air conditioners as central props in your movie?
The reason would be that I think the air conditioning itself represents a lot in terms of the symbolism of it, of being downtown. Most of the buildings, old buildings downtown, have them hanging, and they seem like they can fall at any moment, like the buildings itself, they seem they can fall at any moment. And also because there's something there inside and outside, you know. And it takes place, and also it doesn't take place. It takes care of supposedly of our air, of what we breathe. I know that it sounds very strange now that we're living through a pandemic, but I always felt like it was a very good metaphor for kind of the tension that we live here in this city, you know?
Yeah, we talked about memory earlier. One of my favorite quotes that anyone has ever said about cinemas or cameras, and I bring it up quite a lot, is Wim Wenders once said that the camera is a weapon against the tragedy of things disappearing. So when you're filming, like you said, the type of buildings that you grew up in, do you also take pleasure in just documenting them? Because, like you said, these are buildings that are crumbling and they're not, you know, they may be here today, but gone tomorrow.
Well, I'm very grateful that you quote Wim Wenders. I'm a big fan, and it's one of those filmmakers that every now and then I go back to it just to watch it and rewatch it, because I think he does very well combining, you know, documentary and fiction and making real memories of characters, you know, and of real people at the same time. And I think that what I try to do with filmmaking, what we are trying to do as a collective as well, is some sort of way to have a memory of the places and the stories that we once told, you know. I look back at some of our early films that were in different parts of town that don't exist anymore, of they changed completely, of they've been gentrified. So for me, it's important to have that aspect as well, you know, kind of like an archive of our city. And we'll see what happens to that building a couple of years from now. But the good thing, it's story. And in some of these habitants of the building that were part of the film as actors and production crew also will be remembered because of this film. And I think that's a good thing as well.
There's so much that I want to ask you, but we talked about you mentioned the importance of music in this film, and I love the music as well in Air Conditioner. I was thinking as well that while I was watching it, to borrow a musical term, I really appreciated the groove of this film. Like I said, I found this at times hypnotic. So I wondered, how important is it for you when you're putting the film together? How important is rhythm and pace for you?
For me, is music is as important as the camera, as the narrative, as the characters. Because I think filmmaking is one of the best arts that we have, because we can play with so many tools. It's not just music, it's not just photography. So what I try to do, and because I remember a lot during film school years and even my early projects, that you're so focused on narrative, you're so focused on plot or the photography, and you kind of forget something that is very important: music and sound, you know. And one of the things that I try to write from the get-go, even when I'm writing the screenplay, is to say whatever music I'm thinking for the scene or where I would like to have some music on. And in this project, we involved the composer, Aline Frazon, from early on while we were writing the script. So I think that gave me a completely different experience, and it's something that I really want to do moving forward with other projects. Because once you have a composer attached to the project, it's good to have the conversation when you have a new conversation with the director of photography. And because that clearly inspires you and gives you a better understanding of what you're trying to do with the music, and the composer can come up with a lot of good things like Aline did. Like, I was completely surprised when I heard the first tracks, because I was like, that's exactly where I was thinking, or that's not what I was thinking, but this is perfect for it, you know? And I always tell people, and the other day I was talking to a class of filmmakers, and I was telling, do not forget music, do not forget sound, and pay attention to art direction as well. It seems like we as filmmakers, especially directors, tend to focus too much on plot or, you know, on photography.
Yeah, it sounds like from what you're telling me, and also from having seen the film, that rather than being interested in a traditionalist approach in the construction of a narrative, you're more dynamic than that. You're more dynamic when you're constructing even the story.
Yeah, because I've been in love with films that take their time. They're to suggest feelings and to suggest emotions or what the character is going through or what the environment feels like, more than being completely stuck with the narrative. It's not something that I dislike. I love to see narrative films. I have a lot of films that I like that are very narrative. But from this moment, at least at this moment right now, I think the best way to explain or suggest the stories I'm trying to tell is to convey to emotion with photography, with music. And at the end, I want people, at least with this film, to be on the shoes of the main character by the end of the film, more than anything else.
And where did the actors fit into that creative process?
Well, the actors for me, it's like I'm not trying to find actors that are trained actors only. I try to find people that fit the role. Like, to tell you the truth, for the main character, we're looking actually for someone that was 60 years old, like an older guy. But we're not able to get an actor that was I couldn't find someone that I like. And plus, we were having a lot of problems with casting agencies that didn't want their actors to play a security guard because they saw it was a minor role, and which was funny because he was the protagonist of the film. But at the end, we found José Kitekulu, which is actually a line producer. And the first time that he came in, we already had the other actors, and he came in to do a scene with Zazinha, which is the housemaid. And once he sat down and started talking, he had the soul of an old person, you know, although he was not that old. And for me, that's more important when I'm looking for actors to play the part. It's like that you take the part right from the get-go. I don't mind if not saying the line correctly or if you don't memorize texts or lines. Like, if you look the part and if you can carry the emotion, for me, that's the most important part. And the other thing is I'm not looking for a way, like, this is my way to work with actors. I like to adapt to whoever I have, because they kind of are representing the film, representing the character. So for me, it's more important to find the right person and not be so much worried where the person comes from, or if it's a woman or a man, or if it's an actor or a non-actor, you know.
Do you think that approach also comes a little bit from your work within the documentary form?
Yeah, for sure. Because I've met so many people these last years and seen so many people here in the city. It's amazing how you can find so many talented people that can play different roles. You know, we as human beings play different characters almost every day, you know, and it's in this city, you can find really talented people and doesn't have to be an actor, you know. But at the same time, I love to work with actors, and I'm always trying to have both in the same project, because I think that energy between actors and non-actors, it's also a good energy to have on set if they respect each other, because people are trying to be at their best game, you know, while they're doing the project.
Yeah. So, Fradik, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Matt.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.